Good morning again, everyone. We are going to cover our October call, which we decided we're going to focus on creating clarity. We do this a couple of times a year. Limitless has a lot of courses, coaching, community context. As you know, you're constantly working through them, as we often talk about, right? It's about getting clear, getting focused, and right, getting to work on the things that will move the needle and consistently moving forward, right? Because consistency compounds. So every few months, we just like to check in and give you some opportunities to deep dive in areas where you might need some more help or support. So we like to call these meet you where you are calls. So we're going to really go through. If I can make the. Do I have control? Do I not have control today? Oh no, she hit me on a tight timer.
I have control.
I set my timer. I have 6 minutes left. You know, I love my egg timer, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to cover four distinct areas today. We're each coach on the team. I think one of the really cool things about Limitless is that you have a multitude of coaches. None of us is as smart as all of us, and I would get tired of listening to me all the time. We've just got some really talented, capable, committed people. So love having calls where we can bring everyone together and really support you as a coaching team. I'm going to talk about vision and goals. Tiff's going to talk about marketing clarity. Natalie's going to talk about team building, and Liz is going to talk about right being good enough and personal worthiness. Right, the number one disease on the planet, by the way, is not enoughness. So let's start with a little bit on vision, goals, and where to focus. The biggest challenge that you will have in Limitless, certainly, but outside of Limitless, if you're enacting a lot of change, ask Tiffany. Right, pre working with us. She was overwhelmed. She was not getting enough done. It wasn't a limitless problem. It was a how is she managing her vision, clarity, and focus as an advisor and a leader? Because you're all both an advisor and a leader, right? Working in and on. So it's really important that we make decisions, that we have our thought habits, our behavior habits, and our business habits all grounded in clear and conscious mindset and state so that we can align our decisions, our time, our energy, our capital, people, and right investments of cash in things that most efficiently align with our goals. We cannot, if we, you know, you've heard me say a thousand times, if you've been here more than 3 days, when the vision is clear, the decisions are easy. And I don't know about you, if you've had one of those moments where you were really stuck on something and then you got that moment of clarity as to what or why, and you got that accelerator effect on the back end where you're like, wow, that now I get it. And it all like niches are that for a lot of people and starts to fall into place. And you're like, oh, now I see how my sales process and my onboarding. I'm like, oh, I get it. But like you were staring at the wall, this invisible force field for weeks or months. Anytime that you feel stuck, stalled out, or that you're moving slower than you want, that is your first and most important clue that you must stop, pause, reflect, take personal inventory. What's happening? What's happening really, right? Am I overwhelmed because I'm making poor choices and I'm not, you know, being effective and I'm not, you know, I got off the time habits and I'm like, or, you know, have I taken on too much? Have I brought on, do I need to look at my client profitability analysis and recognize that I'm doing too much for too, like I might need to look at fees or niches or something else, right? Like we, our brains love to keep us in the swirly wheel of procrastination, you know, procrastination, distraction, don't know how. So we put it off. Right? Those are all strategies. They're not real, ladies and gentlemen. They are literally stories that your brain is using behind the curtain to keep you from getting clear, getting focused, and engaging because the status quo, if nothing else, is safe. You might not like it. You might be what I'd love to call uncomfortably comfortable, where you don't love everything about what's happening in your business or your life, but somehow you tolerate it and your attitude is right, I'll try harder and push through. That is not how we are intended to move through life. I still have days, sometimes weeks, where I get into the zone of effort at action. Like you're always managing vision, clarity, and focus, always. But like going to the gym and working out, you get better and better and better at it. I catch myself and I'm like, oh wow, I've just been really pushing through. I haven't had those pauses. I haven't taken those breaths. Had a good, really good day. But my great days, oh, they're when I am clear on, I look at my vision and goals in the morning, right? My post-its, my mantras, my reminders. You guys hear me talk about like I get myself in a super positive state. I listen to stuff that pumps me up. I try to get outside. I get really clear on my day. What's my intent for the day? Look at my goals once a week, right? Like constantly using my vision and goals as a beacon, and I'm keeping myself super aware of them. The more aware you are, right? Think of why do they put all the goodies next to the checkout stand at the grocery store, or all the sugary expensive cereals right at eye level? Right? Because what your brain sees is what it pays attention to. What you focus on expands. If you get stuck in the grind of the day to day, you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, the task is tsunami, and you've got some limitless stuff, and you're not hyper clear on what you're working on now or next and why, stop. Take the inventory. This is the real work. You do this as a person and leader, and you own your life. It is where you literally say, what's happening really? What do I need to account for? Is it personal? You got we got practice coaches, we got mindset, we got more mindset coaches than anyone else. Like we went from like 1 to 4, like it's because it's awesome, right? So that's our work, is to make sure that we're clear on what our priorities are. Quarterly is a good track. If you're just going from project to project, which is a great way to go through Limitless in the simplest form, when one project is done, you sit down and you ask yourself, what's next? If you don't know, you go to Tribe, you go to Inbox, you show up to an office hours and you say, hey, Steph, hey, Nat, hey, Liz, hey, Tiff, here's where I'm at. I just wrapped this, or I'm looking at my next quarter and I'm trying to figure out what's next. And I promise you, within like 10 minutes, any of us is going to be like, oh, what about X? Or here are three options. Which one feels more important to you right now? The job is to be aware so that you can take appropriate action to correct course. Our habit is to work over those feelings. Those feelings are there to tell you something's not right. It's not in integrity with who you are in the practice and life you want. It needs to be tended to. We are just really good at working over our feelings. I'll just work a little harder. I'll check email a couple times because I'll get my dopamine hit and feel really productive. But at the end of the day, of the week, or the month, if you feel it, you don't feel energized and empowered and like you're executing in the way that you want. So we've all had windows where we are there. The job now is to do the work, to train your brain hacks, to get into that zone more of the time. And that's why the vision and the clarity, Friday check-ins with yourself or your mastermind, right? We've got to maintain that awareness and then have a process for taking inventory and asking yourself what's next, even if what's next is asking for help. And if you do that consistently, you will always excel over time, because it's inevitable that if you do the right work, it will show up over time, because as we all know from the markets, consistency compounds. So this is really just a reminder that getting clear, getting focused, and getting to work isn't just a cool slogan that we like to say. It's a working model and a blueprint for success. Get clear. What am I working on now and why? Is it really highly aligned with my goals? Design it with the practice you want in mind, not the stories that are shrinking you. What do I need to focus on to get it done? And then is it in my calendar and on my schedule? Otherwise, it doesn't really exist. It's a wish that you'll get to tomorrow. And we all know that tomorrow or Tomorrowland is the place where 99% of our human potential lies, right? We do not want to live in Tomorrowland. So I'll stop there because we've got some other great coaches and conversations. But when we break out into rooms, if you want help getting clear, getting focused, or getting to work on the right priorities, then you can see me in breakout room, whatever Allison says. I won't say number one because I could be wrong.
Love that. I'm going to be talking about marketing clarity today. And I think a quote that I think about, I'm pretty sure it's Brené Brown, but it's as simple as like, clear is kind, unclear is unkind. And it's just so simple. And I feel like I've experienced so much in marketing around how unkind, unclear can be and costly. Marketing is a place that we invest dollars and time in a pretty big way. Like, so we're actively budgeting on it, looking through it, we're trying to have measuring sticks. And then you pick a strategy and you're like, okay, measuring stick, did we get the number of clients that we want? But did we actually implement the strategy to its fullest? And not only that, but marketing, there's so many strategies. And so it's like, am I looking for the tip of the spear, right? Like, how do I even get people to come? Am I, but I can't keep them coming if I'm not nurturing that bottom funnel of that. And then how do we get that to actually have higher levels of conversion? And so there's just so many aspects of marketing. And sometimes that's where we freeze and get stuck. And today, those are conversations that I want to have. Like, where are you at in your marketing journey? How are you feeling? What strategy are you working towards? How many strategies are you working towards? How is time, energy, and capital associated with that? What are your measuring points? How long are you giving yourself? Those are things too. People think marketing is magic, and we often get there and we're like, we want, like, I did it. I put out my first blog. Where are the clients? And it doesn't work that way. It takes a level of, discipline, and endurance, and predictability comes when you continue to implement. And so those are all things that I want to discuss. And then certainly if there is time and opportunity, we can jump into some of those strategies and how to get unstuck and take that next best step. But marketing, while it's serious process and discipline and all those things, it's kind of unsexy behind the scenes. Man, when it comes together, it is sexy and fun, and we enjoy those pieces. If we can maintain the discipline and the discomfort that comes with just implementing these marketing strategies, and the clarity piece is really, really important. Who are you serving? Where are they at? What are your, are you? I know people have asked, like, they're like, I'm more traditional marketing and I'm not digital. And like, we can explore that. Like, why are you labeling yourself in those ways? And two, what if, if one strategy works well for you, we can look into those things. So, I'm here today to just help you take your next best step as clear as possible from a marketing perspective. As we're in Q4. These are other things. We'll oftentimes think like, great, starting this January 1st, and I have like a three new clients need to come in by March, but we're starting our marketing January 1st, right? And so when you start looking into that, what's that real time frame of, okay, when should I expect those clients to come in based off of the strategies that I'm doing? There's some that serve us more short term. There's others that are going to be a more long-term play. And so we just want to feel clear to those measuring sticks and what that looks like so that we feel aligned with it and continue to have the grit and grind that sometimes goes with just the marketing and the discipline to continue with the strategies that we choose to give it the adequate time and refinement that the strategy may need in order to work. There's a lot of we've run at Destiny Capital a lot of different strategies, definitely on both on traditional and digital. And there are times where I'm like, let's just scrap it. And I'm like, what if we, there's data points to be like, oh, if we just tweaked that now is the shift. And we've now seen that three or four times through different strategies we've put in place. So here to help you think about how do you set up Q4 to set up the next year, set clear expectations for yourself, timelines, good data measurements, and then of course, like the strategies and mindsets around marketing, how you're labeling yourself and the work that you're doing and how you build trust with the clients that you want to build trust with.
Thanks, Tiff.
Natalie, yeah.
All right, next up we have Natalie.
Hey everybody, good to see you. So I'm actually going to share a couple of things. I think a while back you probably got an email from Limitless asking for your help surveying your teams, right? Like there are so many advisor surveys, right? What's your vision? What's going on? How is the business running? And we never really ask the teams, the people who are on the ground day to day doing the work, what's really going on? How do you feel about leadership? So when we started thinking about how do we build better leaders, the first question we had is, well, what's the insight that we can glean from team. So I'm going to share just a couple of highlights. The whole focus on this is as you grow the business, whether or not you're a lifestyle solo and you only want to have one or maybe two team members, right? You still have a team. You still have to support them and grow them, develop them. Or if you're looking to move past that to become, you know, a small giant or an ensemble, right? There's more structure in place that you have to put there. But at the end of the day, I think there's some common themes that we've pulled out. The first one I want to share is, like, we all have a lot of challenges right now. We surveyed team members and asked, like, when are you planning to leave your organization? And 25 to 36% of people said within the next 2 years, right? So some are like tomorrow, some are in the next year, right? But if that's a quarter of your team is planning to leave in the next 2 years, like, hey, we really want to know, how do we keep people? How do we engage them? How do we make them happy? And I think we've all experienced managing next generation teams, right? As we age, we bring in younger people into the business. That's way different. The expectations around culture and what you share and don't share and working hours and remote ability, like all of those things are different. We add on top of that, hiring is hard, right? Finding the right people to fit your firm who are going to stick with you is hard. And then we don't always have the time and capacity, right? So it means bringing in the right kinds of people, what we kind of think of as A players, is really critical. But I think one of the things we wanted to talk about is, well, what really is an A player? And I think the traditional sense of, like, hey, I need someone who can do it all, right? That's what A stands for. A stands for all, everything. And I see that fail time and time again, because you can't have someone who does it all, or it takes you anywhere from 1 to 2 years to find that kind of unicorn in the business. I know I've done it. Hey, Allison, how are you today? But here's the thing. We ask teams to rate themselves on things like, how inspired and motivated are you? How do you feel valued? How do you enjoy doing your work? Do you feel like you do your best work? Are you willing to go above and beyond? And on a scale of 1 to 5, teams rated themselves at 4 and above, right? But when we asked about things like clarity, are you clear on what your role is? Do you have a documented position? Do you know how to grow in your organization, right? Do you know, are you getting the training and mentorship that you need? Results drop down to a 3, right? So, average, right? So where's the disconnect? Because I talk to advisors all the time and they're like, hey, I feel like my team could do better. They aren't working hard enough. Like, how come they're not as motivated as they should be? That's not what teams are saying. Teams are saying, like, hey, we're willing to do it. We want to do the work, but we lack clarity. We don't know how, right? Because we're not entrepreneurs. When you're an advisor, an entrepreneur, you know how to grow, right? Go do that next thing. Figure out how to market, right? Go figure out how to define our services. The figuring out is the hard part, but you intuitively know, like, hey, in order to grow, I have to go do these things. In staff, we often see support roles, right? Someone helped me figure out how to do these things. And that's really that big disconnect. So one of the things that I love from the survey that we found is, I think Steph and I always joke, we had a client like 15, 20 years ago. We walked into the room and we asked the team, like, well, what's the vision for the organization? And they were like, we don't know. And the advisor had said, why would they need to know that? So the good news is that's changed. Like 80% of teams are like, yeah, we got the vision. Okay, we know where we're going. But they weren't clear on how it impacted them. They were like, okay, that's great. Now what? How does that impact me? How is this of value to me? So as we think about building teams and leadership, it's really, how do we create clarity for our teams? And here's the most important part. How do we become better leaders? It's not so much about the structure, although there's lots of things that we can talk about. So if you have questions about how do I structure compensation? How do I define roles? Like, those are all really important things. But what's almost as important is, how do I actually be a better leader to my team? How do I identify what it is that they need to do better, to get better, to grow? And how do I identify that in my organization? What does my organization need from a team perspective, right? That's all about leadership and being a better manager. And I think one of the things that I've often experienced with advisors, the thing I hear most often when we start talking about HR is, I hate managing people. I'm not a good manager. It's so hard. I don't know how to do it. If only someone else would do that for me. But your role as a business owner is to lead and manage people. Or hire someone who is really, really good at that so that you don't have to do it, right? Who, not how. So as we go into today, if those are some of the mindsets that you have and you're stuck in terms of growing and developing the team or building job descriptions, I actually want you to think about, what's your leadership mindset? What are the thoughts that come to my head when I think about hiring, training, firing, sitting down with my team and having one-on-one meetings? How do we manage mistakes in our organization? Like, what's the process and structure? But how do I actually approach it? Right? I was in a coaching session a few months back with one of my clients, and he had a team member who just kept consistently making mistakes. And he's like, I'm so frustrated. I'm so angry. And I said, well, how do you show up to the conversations with that person? And he was like, oh, frustrated, angry, kind of pissed off. I was like, well, how is she going to respond to that? Right. He's like, well, she kind of shuts down and she doesn't really listen. Right. So we couldn't even get to the issue. What was going wrong? What mistakes were being made? Because we didn't have two people who were connected to each other, right? So as we think about that, we want you to evaluate, like, what's your mindset when it comes to building and managing your team? How often are you getting feedback from them? Do you have your own personal goals for leadership, right? We think about building the business, but how do we build ourselves as leaders and managers, right? How do we get better at mentoring, training, and growing our people? And so if those are any of the things that you guys want to talk about today, I'm around, I'm available, I'm here to chat.
Awesome. Thank you, Natalie. All right. Next up, we have Liz.
Yeah. It's great to be with you all today. My nephew just turned one this weekend. And I've really been enjoying watching him grow. I don't know if you've watched a baby lately that's not your own, that you don't have personal responsibility over, but they're delightful. Like, they're just so into their own world. They're happy. They might cry a little bit, but then they snap right back. They have no concept of unworthiness, but something shifts within each of us around age 3 to 6, somewhere in that range, where we take on a mindset of unworthiness. And as I, in Liz's philosophy of the world, which, you know, you can take for however you want and you can discard however you want. Like, that's the human story, is that everybody believes at some level that they're unworthy. And the journey of life is uncovering our worthiness again, because we had it for a couple of years and we lost it. We decided, we trained ourselves to believe that because we're unworthy, we have to do X or Y or Z as order to survive. And so when it comes to any type of lack of clarity, when you get to the root cause of it, it's the place of unworthiness. And so I was thinking about, Steph alluded to this as well, but the idea of, like, procrastination is fog. And most of us, we'll look at the procrastination and then judge ourselves based on it and just get really angry, confused, frustrated, spun out because we're procrastinating. And it's just the fog. And underneath that fog is that story, that overwhelmed story. And I'm curious, do you know what your overwhelmed story is by this point in the year? If yes, type it in the chat. My main overwhelmed story is everyone is angry at me. And it comes up in all different kinds of ways. Anytime I'm trying to assert any sort of change, I'm going to disrupt. Therefore, everyone is angry at me. So if you think about someone leading a firm, really wanting to make the limitless practice, that will get in your way because you're going to bump up against every time you're trying to make changes. Because change creates disruption. If disruption makes people angry at you, well, then you may as well just not change. So you've got the fog of procrastination. You've got the story that's there. And ultimately under that story is one thing that you've taken as fact, which is I am unworthy. And so when it comes to all of these different areas that you're wanting to change, I wanted to draw your attention to three E's. and that is, you know, you can always dig into the story and understand yourself better. Like that is such a helpful journey as to unravel it and catch it much more quickly and jump back into a place of productivity and joy. And we can just get into these three E's, and they are energy, enthusiasm, and excitement. And so perhaps you have your why written out, and you know what your next step is. You know that thing that's supposed to be there. Have you taken the moment to sit in that space of excitement and enthusiasm and energy for what's next for you? Casting aside every other potential person around you that might bring up the what ifs or that doubt that creeps in, can you even get 30 seconds in within a day? In the morning, maybe the first thing in the morning. So as we split out into the breakout rooms, this is where we'll be focusing. Either you can shape the conversation how you want. We can look at that place of overwhelm if you haven't defined that story for yourself. Sorry, I'm distracted. There's some training happening next to me. And then also sitting in that space of energy and excitement, and maybe even drawing that forth to help you see it. And sharing that space.
Welcome back, everyone. I was just saying, I literally was mid-sentence. So Danielle, I'll type the rest of that assignment in the chat here in just a second. We have what, 20 minutes, Allison? Time check?
15? Yep, 14.
14, 13. Setting the timer right there, people. Got the handy dandy timer. What is it? Promptness is this is my new mantra, right? Because you got to give yourself like a vision when you want to create something new. Promptness is the courtesy of kings. Makes me feel very classy and regal if I could be more on time. I was like, oh, promptness is the courtesy. It feels very courteous. I don't want to be not courteous, right? Like I'm always like, you got to be a good human. So yeah, that's my new thing. Promptness is the courtesy of kings. Danielle and our group were talking about vision and where we go from here. We were giving them some direction and assignments. What was happening in the other rooms? Anyone have any good shares? I won't say anyone. I say who has a good share. Take ownership. Key takeaways. What'd you get out of your time? I'm going to start calling on you randomly.
Natalie really helped with figuring out structures and things for our teams to make sure that we're going over the information in a better way, and how to lead a little bit better.
Excellent.
That was very helpful. So thank you, Natalie.
Bonus points for Samantha for speaking up first. All right, who's next? Darren, how about you? What were your takeaways from your session? You're on mute. I've just said, you know how that, you remember the Verizon commercials where the guy was always like, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I'm pretty sure that the most uttered phrase on the planet right now is, you're on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? I can. That's the second most uttered phrase because that's what we say when we come off of mute.
Well, Tiffany killed it, by the way. And so one of the biggest things that I got was don't try to lift too much at one time, which I couldn't agree with her more because I've tried the audio podcast and the video. And when you said doing those, don't try to do both of those, I thought, absolutely, that's the greatest idea. Too bad I didn't hear it sooner.
Pick and focus. Oh, look, Adam said his grandpa said, if you be one thing in life, be on time. I like that. Yeah, we always talk about with marketing, like pick one thing that you really, when we talk about laying the tracks and building out the funnel, like if you pick one thing and do it really, really well, you might find you never need to get to a second thing. But when we pick three, we don't tend to execute on any of them. with just the focus that we really need to, right? Or we go, wow, it's not working and it's taking so long. And it's because, right, we're dividing our efforts by three. And to Tiffany's very on point, once you feel like you've got that flywheel, right, that Adam and I talk about so much, once you feel like you've got that going, great. Like, go ahead and lay another track. Worst kid thing that happens is you're smart enough now to go, oh, I'm going to need to invest more, or I'm going to need to wait until I have more time because I'm getting some results, but I recognize, right, I'm not all in and therefore not get, like, you just kind of get that discernment as you practice laying more tracks. But step one is, like, don't try to build three railroads across the country at once. Oh. Really get clear on where you're going to focus, double down on doing it really well. And then when you've got that nailed, feel free to experiment.
My step one, this, my one thing this year has just been a newsletter.
Yep.
And I've gotten it to 65.5% average open rate now. So
that's fantastic. I've
been pretty happy with that.
And that's where you can start to look at hacks. Like, do you have seeding? Do you have a referral share? Is there something in that newsletter that people would want to share, right? Are you packaging things or resources or making notes so that there's a higher likelihood, right? So you can start watching the open rates and the click-throughs on things like that to see if you can, right, get better and better at amplifying the performance of your newsletter. Honing the craft.
They say 40% is the average. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, 65% is great. Are you using it on LinkedIn?
No, I use it. I send it. I do it through MailChimp, but I'm not putting it on LinkedIn at all.
Yeah, the LinkedIn newsletter is my latest favorite, most unknown and underrated resource, because basically if you have, right, contacts or followers on LinkedIn, you can literally take your newsletter, paste it into the, it's very affordable. I don't think it's very much at all. Literally paste it in, it's like, it's a couple of clicks. I figured it out all by myself. That tells you how easy it is. And it literally blasts that newsletter out to everyone that's following you on LinkedIn. So they don't have to give you their email yet. So it's a way to reach them. LinkedIn likes it because it keeps people in their ecosystem. They don't like sending people out. They'd much rather keep them in. So they've made it very easy for all of us to share our blogs and newsletters via LinkedIn. And again, the level of effort there is very low, but then you can, right, connect to people and new people and groups, right? They follow you, they get it. And it's just a way to expand the top of the funnel for you. Good news, sir. Well, you've had a heck of a year, haven't you? And you made it, didn't you?
You I've did. Made it. But I'm pretty in control of my schedule. So I think it's the only way, you know, it's just time blocking.
We were just talking about that in the vision session, just managing ourselves, right, to be in line with the vision for sure. Right. Anyone have, what questions do you have? Anyone have questions for any of the coaches, or you want to share your next takeaway? We have 9 minutes. Is everyone waiting for someone else so that they can listen? Oh, Tiff, why don't you share that with the group? I think that's a good ad for everyone.
Yeah. You know, we've been really like working with this mailbag piece of things in general. So our webinars, but when they sign up, it's like, do you have any questions that you would like answered as a part of the webinar? We do our Markets and Economy one every month, and clients will send but COIs or prospects will send questions in ahead of time, which is great for us because we can prep for them and or determine which ones we'll just respond to offline. We've now implemented that into our newsletter as a client. We have so many questions that come in from clients where I'm like, that's probably applicable to a lot of clients. Like, why don't we have a client ask and answer section of our newsletter as well? So they have the ability to write in those questions, which is super great, where they think it would be, clients think that it would be valuable to have that as a bigger share outside of just their own. But we also, if we don't get any, think about all of the questions that you get. So it looks like clients are engaged too, which encourages other clients to engage, and we can answer those questions. And we're adding our CIO we're revamping our newsletter as well to the point of, like, once you learn, like, Darren, we have similar open rates. Like, it's just really, it's a really positive thing that we do. So we're expanding upon the ways in which we do it. But they can ask market and economy and investment questions directly to our CIO, and he's going to do a Q&A on that. But that's been a really cool way to get engagement through content in a different way. And so just thinking about your webinars, your content, your podcasts, right? Like whatever it is that we're doing videos, like, what do you want me to write, do a video on next month, right? Like encourage them to send in what they want to see and hear and learn about. But that's been an awesome addition to the things that we've been doing.
Yeah, I love that for a lot of reasons. It does really demonstrate engagement, and it gives you, man, just a bucket of ideas for blogs, newsletters, podcasts, you know, because client questions are ultimately not just client questions. They're everyone else's questions too. So, you know, sometimes I don't know about all of you. I will sit around going, what do I put on social today? I like nothing's coming to me. And I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. There are a million. I could like call any one person and be like, tell me what's going on in your day and find 50 things. And sometimes it's just nice to have those, right? I've got a bucket of ideas where I'll just drop stuff in and then I'll be like, oh, I did that this morning. I was like, oh, I only have a little bit of time. Pop was like, oh, that totally like boom, inspired and go. So it's just a good strategy for a lot of reasons. So definitely something to consider.
I find the highest click rates are not investment related. It's actually things like artificial intelligence, articles like on AI, like on, you know, identity theft.
Hot topics.
I mean, you name it. Those will get the highest clicks.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything that's what we call hot topics, right? Tiff and Jared are really, really good at this. If it's going on in the world right now, it's their brain is paying attention to it. So it's just an opportunity for you to see the messages, viewpoints, right, or reinforce those communications because... Right. So we have an advisor in leaders named Kyle, and he has clients for retirees. But every Sunday at exactly like 8:05 a.m., he would send a 2-minute video on hot topics, literally like what's inflation going to do to Social Security? Right. What's going, you know, is what's going on in the world going to affect the markets in my retirement? Like just lit, not like a specific, like just stuff that's going on. Right. Or like things that many questions like, hey, we've been getting a lot of questions lately about blah, and I just want to take a couple of minutes. And he's just super relatable and they're very short and they are hyper open. Their open rates are ridiculous. If he doesn't send it for any reason, he's like, I get 20 emails in my inbox going, is everything okay? Like couples sit down with their coffee on Sunday. Like it becomes those kinds of things are very referable. And they're very relatable. People just want to know, remember, can I count on you? And so when you're talking about what's going on in relationship to their financial life, right, and or reinforcing messages, it's just more, right, you get me, you hear me, you understand me, you're paying attention to the things that are happening and you're thinking about me and my plan as those things are happening. Good to know that I can count on you. So that's where those kinds of mentions or snippets and blogs, newsletters, et cetera, can be really nice too. Right, guys, you have 4 minutes. Who's got a burning question? Someone must. You guys are so quiet today. Matt Hoskins, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. I had a phone call come in from an investor, and so I was trying to talk and not getting it going. So I'm good. How are you?
I'm happy today. How's everyone else doing? Whoop, do I get a whoop? You guys are okay. You guys got to wake up just a little bit. Whoop, there, Liz gave me a whoop whoop. Right, any burning questions, Matt? I know you were out for a bit of it, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, you know, I actually really liked hearing what you were just covering there as far as the newsletters and things like that, because that's going to be a big part of my strategy moving forward. But instead of, you know, sending directly to clients, it's going to be social media posts, specifically through Instagram. And I loved what you just said as far as, you know, basically, you know, pull your audience and get your topics from there. So that was definitely something that was, I'm just thinking, that's how easy is that? Hey, what do you guys want to hear about? They'll let you know, send you several things. And so that was one of my takeaways so far. As far as letting clients know, hey, what's important to you? I want to talk about it. But the other thing too, somebody mentioned that the things that they tend to get is a lot of non-financial questions. So my question, I guess, there is, if you get a lot of non-financial, let's say there's 10 people who respond and 8 of them are non-financial, 2 of them are financial, how much time should you spend on non-financial things versus the financial stuff? Because obviously that's what we're here selling. That's how we make our money, is with the financial things, but we want to provide value in every way that we possibly can.
I'm going to let Tiffany start with that one because I think she's probably got a perspective. Liz, Natalie, feel free to jump in on that too. Adam, I see you there. Did you get glasses or did you always have them and I missed it?
All right. Random blue light glasses. I'm just having fun with a random thing that I found in the office when I was cleaning out the office. Like, hey, blue light glasses. Let me try these on for a little bit.
So. Love it. Great question on the time. So here's the thing. Non-financial and financial end up being like a way to combine both, right? Because money is tied to everything. And so what we want to do is really speak and hear and address the questions that they have. I would say look at themes and trends and see those things, but how do you answer it? Like, you can answer things around well-being, retirement, living their life, investing in certain things, and whatever it looks like outside of the financial component. And then you can add underlying strategy to that. So if it depends on like who you're focusing on, what exactly are you looking to push and have your content theme? So I think it's really important to know like what is the content that you're looking to put out. All questions are welcome, but how do you wrap it into what you're looking to establish yourself as that brand of identity that you're looking to consistently put out? So if you're really looking to bring that rate back into your home investor and what that looks like, answer their question and then tie in a way or a case study or a story that also brings in like something that you would like to get across as well. So those are approaches that we would take in something along those lines. Like, it wouldn't just be like, you know, how do you cook your grandmother's lasagna? Like, it would be like, you know, putting some sort of story that brings them back into who we are and why and how.
There's a recipe for success, right? You got to try it multiple times before you really master it. Like that's what I mean by like taking those hot topics and making them relatable to I think Tiffany makes a really good point. You turn them into the message that you want to reinforce. You use that as the basis. All right, we are coming up on the end of our time. I'm sorry, Austin, it is 10 a.m. Mountain Time. I'm awful with time zones, if anyone's looking at the chat. Hope the workshops and the sessions, kind of the breakouts, were helpful to everyone today. Sounds like they were super positive and you got some good things. Like I shared, we like to do these calls every so often just to give you some options to dive in a little bit deeper in a smaller group and have some conversations with the coaches and peers about where you need support. So thank everyone for coming today. As always, we're in Tribe. Coaching calls and office hours, feel free to reach out to us if we can be of help to you. Everyone, make it a super great day. Oh, and I need to give Michelle Glass a big shout out for 20 seconds of bravery. So everyone just say, go Michelle. Whoop, whoop.
Go Michelle.
Go Yo, Michelle.
Rock
thank
it.
Thank you.
Stephanie, the email for those upcoming Zooms says 10 to 10:45 Pacific.
Okay, then that is correct. See, I told you I'm bad with time zones. I have to look at my calendar. I don't know where I'm at. Oh, you're right. It is.
Awesome.
I know when I say that I live by my calendar, I am not joking. I will go on, and if a task isn't red, and red means a call, and it's blue, I'll be like, oh, I could do that whenever. I'm going to go hang out with Emma for a little bit. And I'll be like, oh, someone forgot to make it red. I missed a phone call. That doesn't happen very often. But like when I'm just looking, like everything is color coded, like that's how reliant I get on the system. So you know, now I got to check. But everyone have a great day. If we can help you out, let us know, but make the most of it. Let us not roll into the end of the year. Let us rev it up so that we start 2024 from a confident and empowered place. You guys have a great day.
Bye, everybody.